Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Good evening and welcome to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. I'm a permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese here in Central Illinois. It's wonderful to be talking to all of you tonight. I want to thank you. I've had a number of people, you know, one of the problems here with Catholic Spirit Radio is we really don't know how many people listen to the program. The only way we can tell is by what we hear on the street. And it's been very rewarding to have a number of parishioners come up after Mass or stop me at the parish office and say they heard the program and enjoyed it. And I'm delighted for both that they listen and that they enjoyed it. I don't know how, I haven't heard from many young people yet. We're hoping to be reaching out to a lot of teenagers to keep them informed about their faith and keep them involved. But I have had a number of people say that it's helped them to talk to their teenagers more about their faith. And that's a wonderful effect of the program that I never considered as we started putting this together. My original hope was to be able to talk to teenagers. I also know that teenagers' lives are very busy right now, and it's not always, radio isn't always big on their list. But we hope that you will turn in for just 30 minutes a week and learn a little bit more about your faith. And there's so many other great shows here on Catholic Spirit Radio during the day and on the weekends that you can tune into no matter what your age and learn so much more about your faith and take part in some great shows on liturgy as well as apologetics, great advice. We've had Dr. Ray here rather recently, and he gives some wonderful parental advice for having good Christian homes and raising good Christian children and being good Christian parents. That's just one of the many great programming activities here on Catholic Spirit Radio. And we're trying to offer you more and more programs all the time. So we hope that you'll tune in frequently during the day. And of course, as you're getting your Christmas gifts ready, consider a gift to Catholic Spirit Radio to help keep us on the air and keep sending this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to people every day. So we're halfway through Advent. We're into Gaudete Sunday. You may have noticed that the clergy at Mass this weekend wearing rose. We don't wear pink. Everybody says, "Oh, those are beautiful pink vestments." Don't ever tell a priest he looks good in pink. They'll correct you. It's rose. We don't wear purple. We wear violet. Red is normally referred to as crimson. We like our fancier words, but rose just sounds a lot nicer than wearing pink. But they are beautiful vestments, and we only get to wear them twice a year. One Sunday halfway through Lent and one Sunday halfway through Advent is the only time we wear the rose vestments. And so they're pretty unique. But we wear them because this is a moment of great joy. This is a time where the church is bursting with anticipation. We're halfway through this time of Advent, and we can't wait. We are so excited about the coming of the baby Jesus and the eventual second coming of Christ. And so we switch from the deep violet into the bright rose to show that joy that we're feeling right now. And you hear that joy again in our Mass readings, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everything now is just talking about this great joy that's bursting forth out of the church, as well as through the words of the evangelists and the words of the apostles and the words of the early prophets. So joy is just running rampant through all of our readings and will for the next few weeks. And why not? I mean, what a great thing to celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus and everything that's to follow after that. So we start, our first reading is from the prophet of Zephaniah. And Zephaniah writes, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Jerusalem. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals." The word of the Lord. So in the days of Zephaniah, so this was BC, this is before Christ, he's talking about the coming of the Messiah. The Jewish faith is still waiting for that moment. And that's the big separation between Judaism and Christianity, is Christians believed that this moment came, that the Messiah arrived, that Christ, Jesus, is the Messiah, the long-awaited for Savior. But we're still waiting for him to come again. So our joy is identical to the joy that Zephaniah is talking about to the tribes of Israel. They were waiting for the coming of Christ. We're waiting for the coming of Christ. So it's the same level of anticipation. It's the same joy. It's the same event, just happening again rather than happening for the first time. So this is a really appropriate reading for the whole Christian family at this time, because I see in this reading a real bond between Judaism and Christianity through to our Jewish brothers and sisters. And remember that God has said all along that the tribes of Israel, these are his chosen people. And now through Christ, we become part of that same chosen people. So we have this shared heritage that's brought out and really focused on in this first reading from Zephaniah, that we're all waiting for the Messiah to come. And we all share in this same joy. So I look at this as a universal event, not just one shared by brothers and sister Christians in the world. In our second reading, it's a really short one. This is a letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. And Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord. Again, a very short reading, but let's talk about what it tells us in this time of Advent, this time of anticipation for what's about to happen. We hear these same words about rejoicing, about being joyous. This is a happy time. This is not a time to be wallowing in any pains or sorrows you have, because knowing that in the coming of Christ, both in his birth and in his second coming, God promises to wipe away all our tears. So this is a moment where we can look beyond our sorrows and look at this wonderful thing, this great gift, this wonderful event that God is making happen just for us. I mean, Christ came to this world for all of us. He didn't come for the trees or the ocean or the fish or the birds. This event is for mankind, all of mankind. This is a very personal, very powerful gift that we didn't deserve and that we didn't ask for, but that God knew we needed. And he gave to us out of his love for us, out of his compassion for us. That he said, no matter what's going wrong in your world, and he knew the troubles that we would be facing at all times, he says, "I'm going to do this for you to bring you through this sorrow, to bring you through this pain. I'm going to give you an event of such tremendous joy that you can let this wash over you in place of everything else. Have no anxiety at all," Paul writes, "but in everything, by prayer and petition." And this is the big lesson for Advent. What should you be doing? This is a time for prayer and petition. This is a time where God's sending us gift, and now we can return that gift. Our prayer is our response to everything God's given us. being Thanksgiving. We just had Thanksgiving a few weeks ago, but don't let that stop you from a time of just thanking God for all the wonderful things he's done for us. And if you're alive, he's done wonderful things for you. If you've still made it through another year, it's been a difficult year for a lot of people. COVID, we all know the problems COVID has caused in our society and in our families. We all know someone, no doubt we all know someone who has lost their lives to this or who is gravely ill, and hopefully they're doing better now. Hopefully you're doing better now, but it's been a difficult year. We've had all sorts of other things going on besides COVID too, throughout the world, problems where it looks like feels almost like we're always on the brink of war somewhere between someone. The problems that we've seen politically in our country. So it's been a difficult year, but these are all temporary. Christ promises us something far beyond the limits of this physical world. And for that, we should be hugely joyful and knowing that no matter what happens here, that in the temporary brokenness of our human world, after that lies an eternity of unbelievable joy. And so we should be grateful for that. Even though we don't have it yet, we know that's a gift that's on its way. That's the advent, the anticipation for what's to come. And so we can show joy for that and thanksgiving for that. And God wants us to be joyful in our lives, and he wants to care for us. So tell him what you need. Even though he knows, he's looking for that relationship. He wants you to come to him. Just like you want to run to your, as a child, you want to run to your parents when you're hurt. And your parents want you to do that because they want to comfort you. They want to help you to heal. They want to be able to embrace you through your pain. God's the same way with us. We're children in his eyes. We're his children in his eyes. And so run to God with your needs, no matter what they are. Build that relationship through prayer. And then not only go with petition, but go with thanksgiving. Think of all you do have. Think of all you have received. And go to God with that. You know, we talk about the Mass, the actual sacramental name for the Mass is Eucharist, and Eucharist is Greek for thanksgiving. One great way to show thanksgiving to God is get back to the Mass. I can tell you that we're seeing small increases in some of the Masses, but we're also seeing big drop-offs in who's watching online. So if only a few people are coming into Mass and more people are dropping offline and not watching, that means that we're actually seeing more people have started to walk away from the Mass. I think part of that is we're broken creatures of habit. When we felt like we needed to be at church every Sunday, we went. But then we had this option. We could sit in our living room in our pajamas and experience the Mass. And having had to do both for a time when the church was closed, and then being able to go back and be part of the Mass again, I can tell you they are not the same thing. They're not even close to the same thing. What you experience being in the presence of Christ and being in the presence of others who share your faith so far exceeds the joy of being able to sit in your living room and watch the Mass. So please come back. And I know the parishes in our area are doing what they can to get the Mass out to more people, serving the lock-ins, people who are in the hospitals or in the nursing homes. We're doing everything we can to get back into those locations to bring the Mass there in person, because we realize what great strength and comfort comes from that celebration of Thanksgiving of the Eucharist. But we need you to want that. We need you to want to come back. We're making our parishes as safe as possible. And like I say, we are seeing some increases at certain masses during certain times. But we also know that the forecast is not good for what's going to happen with the return to Mass after this long COVID drought. So please look into your hearts and ask God for the strength to leave your home and come back into church, into God's house, and experience the Mass firsthand. That is the pinnacle of worship in our faith. That's the pinnacle of prayer. It's the most direct route to the presence of Christ in our lives, to have him physically present in the Eucharist. So we hope you'll come back, and we hope you'll come back soon and come back with this feeling that of what's been missed and the joy of what's going to be embraced again. I have no doubt in my mind that this Christmas will be like past Christmases, that our masses will be packed, that people will come in droves. In fact, last year when we did decorations at our church, we only decorated a small section of the altar right behind the priest. We decorated what the camera saw because we had nobody in the church. I think we had at one Mass, at a Christmas Mass, we had maybe 40, 50 people at a Mass where we would normally have hundreds. And so we decorated the church for the camera. And this year, it's full-blown decoration, multiple trees and the beautiful manger scene and all the statues that go with the nativity scene and the choir, the musicians that have been practicing to get ready for the Christmas season. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be such a celebration. And we want you to be there, and we want you to want to be there. So please be praying for the strength and the desire to return to God's house to celebrate the Eucharist with all of your brother and sister Catholics and fellow Christians. If you belong to other Christian faiths, please get back to your in-person worship at whatever your house of worship is. So we still have to talk about the gospel, and we're looking at the Gospel of Luke as we are through much of this new liturgical year. We'll be diving into Luke, and we'll do that when we return from these messages. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
This Christmas season, help Catholic Spirit Radio pack the van for Catholic Charities. The St. Nicholas Charity on Wheels Ministry, a traveling van, needs donations for distribution to the poor. Spirit Radio listeners are encouraged to pack the van with needed goods on the first three Saturdays of December. Please drop off donations at the station from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Visit CatholicSpiritRadio.com for details.
Welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al here on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you have a question about your Catholic faith or a Christianity in general, we'd be happy to address your question on the air here at Good News. You can write us. Our email address is goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. And we would be happy to address your questions here on the air. We have a couple we might have time to get into today, but otherwise we'll put them off for next week. We're saying it's Gaudete Sunday, Gaudete Rejoice, be glad. And all of our readings talk about that today. Our first reading, the prophet talked about simply being happy that the Messiah is coming. This is a time to rejoice, that things are going to be wonderful when Christ comes. And then Paul gives us a couple things that we can be doing in this time of anticipation and preparation. He talks about the importance of prayer. And then we go to the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, we also he shares with us some tips from John the Baptist on what to do during this time of expectation for the coming Messiah. Luke writes, "The crowds asked John the Baptist, 'What should we do?' He said to them in reply, 'Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise.' Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he answered them, 'Stop collecting more than what is prescribed.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And what is it that we should do?' And he told them, 'Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages.' Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, 'I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people." The Gospel of the Lord. So how do we take what John the Baptist is saying just prior to Jesus? This is after Jesus' birth, but prior to his public ministry starting. And he too is looking at an advent, at this anticipation of what's to come, and he knows it's coming soon in his lifetime. And what does he tell people to do? Something completely unexpected. He doesn't say to go out and do great penance and be sorrowful. He, again, is talking about rejoicing, but he's talking about this is a time to be kind. And isn't that, you know, when we talk about Santa Claus, and I hear a lot of people try to badmouth Santa Claus these days, and who he is and what he represents. And what the spirit of Santa Claus represents is what John the Baptist is talking about here. If you know Christ is coming, if you're expecting this great visit from the person who created us out of love, then the thing to do is to show yourself in his likeness by loving others. So John is saying, in this time of preparation, share what good fortune you have. If you have two coats, share a coat with someone who has none. If you have more food than you need, there are people in the world who do not have enough food. Share your food with them. This is not the time to be looking to cheat your neighbor. This is not the time to be looking to fleece anyone. Okay? This is not a time for personal complaints about what's wrong in your life. This is about looking at the graces that God has given you over the year or over your lifetime and share what you have with others. And there's so many ways we can do that. You probably see the Salvation Army kettles floating around town. You'll see all kinds of drives for winter coats and gloves and hats. It's about to get really cold. I mean, the weather right now for December is incredible. I think today it's going to hit 60 and we're in December, but very shortly the thermometer is going to go the other way and very quickly. And there are people in our community who will not survive without our help. Luckily we have shelters going, but the shelters need food and they need personal effects, shampoos and soaps, and things to help people with. So be aware of what's going on around us in charity. St. Vincent de Paul, with their food distribution and their clothing collection. We have other shelters in town, other ministries that are looking to keep the homeless sheltered, to keep them in warm clothing, to keep them fed, to get them the medical care they need. There are so many charities in town that only exist because we exist. They only operate out of our generosity. So be familiar with what's available in the community and who needs help, and really take stock of the blessings that you have in your home and in your life. You probably have a drawer full of clothing and a closet full of clothing. And there are people who have only what they have on their back. And it's hard to believe that still exists today, but it does. And in many of our communities, that number's in the hundreds of people. And you think, well, if we have all these sources, why aren't they filled with everything they need? Well, because they have no place to keep their stuff. And that's a big part of it. If everything you have, you wear, it doesn't take long for it to wear out. It doesn't take long for it to become torn or dirty or soiled. It's a difficult life out there when you have no permanent shelter. So the resources they need are in constant need of replenishing. And again, these charities are only able to exist out of the generosity of this community. So there, it really is a difference of the haves and the have-nots. And if you're within the haves, be eternally grateful for what you've got, because it doesn't take much to suddenly find yourself on the other side of that divide. In a world where you think there's so much employment, and yet we have so many unemployed. And it's not all a matter of choice. It's often a matter of circumstance. And we owe it to our neighbors to help care for them. So this is what John the Baptist is talking to us about. So Paul tells us to spend time in prayer and thanksgiving. And then John is saying, take what you're thankful for and share it with others. Be so grateful for the abundance of what God's given you that you'd be willing to share it with other people. This is a wonderful time for us as Christians. We have so much to look forward to. Very shortly, we have the celebration of Christ's birth, God incarnating as man and leading us to salvation. And then we also have to look forward to the actual second coming of Christ when he returns for our final judgment. And that's nothing to be scared about if you live a life in Christ. And this is what all the New Testament's talking about, and it begins now at Christ's birth, and for the rest of the liturgical year, everything we're going to be hearing about is how to live that life in Christ so that you're always ready. Your home is always prepared for that moment where Christ will come to judge us, and it's going to happen to all of us, Christian and non-Christian alike. This is a universal effect, and whether you, no matter how deep your belief is in Christ, the lessons are solid. I mean, the lessons are true that whatever happens is going to happen through our Creator, and he's telling us through Scripture what we need to do, both in the New Testament and in the Old. The message is the same. Rejoice, but prepare yourself for this event. So take this Advent and really prepare. Spend time in Mass. Spend time at your church. Spend time in prayer. Take advantage of the sacraments to bring us in a closer relationship with God and really celebrate what Advent is leading us to. Hope you have a wonderful Advent. We'll see you very soon. Very soon we'll be saying Merry Christmas to each other. But until then, may God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.